wonderful to be with y'all again. I guess I'll consent to being recorded. Wonderful to be with y'all again this Wednesday night. We've enjoyed it. Our family's enjoyed it. It's become a part of our lives these days, and we felt it's drawn us closer to you folks at Union and others across the U.S., and it's been a blessing to us. And I appreciate that prayer by Brother Joe this morning. This evening. We're going to go to the fifth chapter of the book of Acts. This has been on my mind today, and I'll try to keep in mind, since I feel like I'm one of you, I'm going to adopt some of y'all's sayings, and one of Brother Clem's is, I hope the Lord blesses me, but if not, there's no sermon bad if it's got enough shortening in it. So if don't feel it, I hope I'll get out of the way. But I beg an interest in your prayers this evening. Here in the fifth chapter of Acts, we have the apostles here. They've been cast in jail for preaching, and then an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and let them out, and they go straight back out to preaching. And they come back to him and said, "Didn't we throw you in jail?" And the apostles said, "We're going to obey God rather than men." And the apostles and Peter went in to tell them that y'all are the ones that crucified the Lord. And it tells us here that when he's told them that, it says they were cut to the heart. Now, you know, in Acts chapter 2, it says they were pricked in their hearts, but here it says they were cut. This hurt. And their reaction is completely different. There in Acts chapter 2, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" But here it says they were cut to the heart. I believe that's a hard heart, and it didn't penetrate it. And it says, and they took counsel to slay them. Then in verse 34, it says, "Then stood there one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel." I just tried to practice saying it. Gamaliel, whatever. "A doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, 'Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain. And all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed." Now, Gamaliel, someone help me with that, is a familiar character. That's who Saul came up under. He was and often don't think much of him, but I think here he's giving them some good advice. He's saying, people have come before. Now, he says he was a Pharisee. People have come before, and they haven't fared well, he said. So give them a little space. Back up. Let's be careful what we do, he's saying. He said in verse 38, "And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God." That's the passage of scripture that's been on my mind today, as thinking on this service and what it means here. I love going into this book of Acts and looking at the history and the beginnings of the church of God. But you can look at this and it says, if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. Now that can go, I love to think on the sovereignty of God. I remember when I first started studying to try to take the stand and stuff, and I dwelt and wanted to dwell so much on the will of God. What was his will? And I believe that is one of the keys, if you will, to see the truth. So many in our nature is to see what do we want? What does man want? How do we want religion? How do we want to view God in this? But if we can start at the beginning and see how God, what is his will in it? And I tell you, it's a rewarding study to look at God's will, because when we look at it, we find ourselves in it. And we find ourselves in it from the very beginning, before the foundation of the world, to the day whenever the kingdom shall be delivered up again unto God. And he will deliver us up, and we shall be with him forevermore. This is his will. You know, it tells us in Daniel chapter 4, verse 35, he says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will among the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no man can stay his hand or say unto him, and what doest thou? Now, these are all eternal applications, but I don't believe that's what this is here. This is the early stages of the church, and I've thought on the history of the church. I love to try to study the history of the church, especially in the scripture and some other writings of men, where we can see that God had a people throughout since the church was founded. There's been a people following after him and in spirit and in truth. And here it's being set up, and there's coming up people against him. And he's saying there's people that come up against him. But he says, if it be of man, it's going to come to me. Oh, I think we have things that plague us now, things that are not according to God's will, not according to his purpose, not how he set up the church and things like this. And it's of man. And when it's of man, you get in trouble. And he says it will come to naught. It might look. Like it's being successful in the numbers or something. But yet, is the spirit there and is the truth there? But he says, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. You know, remember in Matthew 16, what the apostle Peter, what the Lord said unto him. He says, thou art Peter, and upon this church I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That tells us that there was a church then. He was setting it up, and there will be a church until time is no more. I was asked today by someone, says, how do you think if the country failed, if the United States ended up being no more, if it were the church's fault? And I said, I've heard that, but I'm not going to make any rash statements like that. I just don't feel comfortable saying that, but I will say this. I believe the Lord has preserved it because of the church, and he's put us here, and we're blessed. But I also think of the times of God's people, and probably when you look at the history of God's people in the Old Testament and then God's church in the New Testament, there's not many times that they were under favorable government. This very time when the Lord set up the church, they were under the Romans. They were in Roman captivity. And you can look and go on through history. I remember there's a group of people called the Waldenses, from Piedmont Valley in France, and people have looked at their articles of faith, and they look a lot like ours. But those people had to worship in caves. They had to hide to worship. So I believe the Lord flourishes his church, no matter what government or whatever man throws at it, the Lord blesses it. Consider Daniel. We quoted from Daniel a while ago that he was under Babylonian captivity. But yet, look at that for a minute. And what they did in Daniel, while the government was against them, the king ended up, because of the obedience of the Hebrew children and then of Daniel, he made a decree that says anyone that speaks against Daniel's God will be put to death. That tells me, can one man make a difference? I say he can. Despise not the day of little things. But here in Acts, he tells them. A Pharisee says, if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. So much in our lives now, so much going on is uncertainty. We've been through this time. The reason we're here, we've been through these times of pandemic and stuff. No one's knowing what to do. People are differing on strategies on how to handle things. People, children of God, people in the church disagreeing. We've seen times of unrest in our government, in our society, people fighting and arguing over things, and that even creeping into the church. And that's what I hate to see. If it's out there, that doesn't surprise me. But when it creeps into the church, then I get concerned and scared. We need to keep those things of man. If it be of man, it will come to mind. Oh, but we need to stick to the things that are of God, because we can't overthrow it. And if we're against it, he says, less happily you're found, even to fight against God. But the most stable thing we have in this life, in time, is the Lord's church that he set up for us. The truth, he said in 1 Timothy 3:15, he says it's the pillar and ground of the truth. You know, so much is made of truth. You remember what Pilate said whenever the Lord told him, I am the truth. He says, what is truth? You know, that's still being asked today. I think he was kind of being a smart aleck, and I think they still ask it in a smart aleck way today. What is truth? There is no real truth. The truth is just how you perceive it. But God is truth, and he has a pillar and ground of that truth here in this world. And that is the church of God. And there we can come. Pillar. These things that you... A pillar, it holds it up. It cannot be shaken. I think of that song, it's Chalmers. I don't know if it's in this book, but it says, firm as the earth, his promise stands. That was one of my grandmother's favorites. But it's even firmer than the earth. The truths of God are firmer than the earth. Now, this earth spins and moves about, and someday it's going to be no more. But God's truth will last forever. And here we have the Lord's church. It's a marvelous thing to behold. It's a blessing. And it is a place we can come and hear the Lord's truth preached and rejoice in it. It's a place where we can come and worship him in spirit and in truth. That woman at the well, she says, y'all, the Jews worship in Jerusalem. Our fathers said worship in these mountains. Where do we worship? He says, the hour is coming, and now is, when they that worship the Father, worship God, must worship in spirit and in truth. You know, We've studied with Brother James and Brother Joe and others, the tabernacle. And you know, we used to, I used to have that idea that, you know, the old law service was dry and tedious, but it says the Spirit would fill the temple. The Spirit would fill the tabernacle. And it reminds me of those times I've been in the Lord's service, and the Lord's had mercy on us and blessed us. And His Spirit has come down. His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. God has these truths, and they cannot be overthrown. They will not be overthrown. And God has a church that cannot be overthrown and will not be overthrown. Now, I want to be in that church. I want to be numbered among those where the Lord meets with His people, those where we have a firm foundation, those where the pillar and ground of truth resides. Because in this world, I don't care what the government is, I don't care what they're doing in Washington, but the church is a place we can come. And in the church we need. It's a constant struggle and fight. It's referred to as the kingdom of God. They say, the Bible says, since the days of John, the kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? But I tell you, it is a constant struggle and fight for us, for me. I've got two natures about me. And I just look at that verse and think, you just got to get ugly about it. You got to, it's a violent thing to subdue the will of the flesh and to submit ourselves to the Spirit. But this verse can apply to our lives in the church as well. When we come together as a church, Proverbs 3, 4, and 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. How do we know what to do in the Lord's church? Well, He's left us His word. He's left us instruction. Even in that 1 Timothy 3:15, He says, if I tarry long, so that you know how to behave yourself in the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, so that you know what to do. But He's given us His Spirit that we can go to Him in prayer. Oh, it tells us to try the spirits, whether they be of God or not. That doesn't mean try them out, and if it works, no. But I tell you, we are to go to the Lord in prayer and look for His guidance. Lord, is this of you or is this of man? Because if it's of man, it will come to naught. Oh, but it's of you. It cannot be overthrown. And if we're found against it, we'll be fighting against God. And that's not a place we want to be. These early days as they set up the church, you know, in Songs of Solomon. I'll try to go over there. Verse 7, tell me, O thou, whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Then the answer, if thou know not, O thou, fairest among women, Go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. If thou know, there's footsteps. I said one time, we're not looking for trailblazers in the Old Baptist Church. We had a trailblazer, and he went, and we're to follow, and he's the forerunner, and we're following in his paths. And you can look, and you can see the church from the very banks of Jordan when John says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And as he called apostles, called men, fishermen, lawyers, publicans, physicians to preach the gospel. And then he called one born out of due time to be the apostle of the Gentiles. And it was him that told Timothy, "These things that I have committed unto you, commit thou unto faithful brethren." Oh, Lord, help us to be faithful brethren. And may we continue to commit these things. Because this church is the most precious thing that is in this world. God visits his people in his church. And while we're meeting from Mississippi to North Carolina to California to Arkansas to Texas and in between, we trust that we are following after the Lord in the old footsteps, in the old paths, in the footsteps of the flock. And may we continue to feed our kids by the shepherd's tents. I see things in the world, and I see church folks, church members that are just lukewarm, and it concerns me. Because you might be doing that good, all right. You might be doing all right, but there's trouble coming. In this world you shall have tribulation. And I want my kids, my children, the children in my house, the children that I serve as their pastor, I want them to know where the shepherd's tent is. I want them to know where they can come and get fed with the food that will nourish them and sustain them in this low ground of sin and sorrow. It's not going to be overthrown because the church is of the Lord. You cannot overthrow it. Now, we have seen several instances and examples of the church not being in this location anymore. Well, if that's the case where we are, may we go and find where it is. But it's my prayer that I do nothing to mar the church, do nothing that might cause the Lord to remove the candlestick from that local body. I look on here, I remember when Brother James, we first started this, and we were talking about how do we preach on the internet. And I said, well, Facebook Live, well, you're just looking at yourself then. He said, Brother James Conley told me, I like to do this Zoom because you got people. Now, most of them are shy here. Most of the people turned off their cameras. But as I'm looking here, and I can see people from different places, it's my prayer that the congregation you're a part of, the church cannot be overthrown. But may the Lord strengthen and increase in knowledge and grow in grace the congregations where y'all attend. I love you all, and may God bless you.